This morning we want to teach from Hosea in chapter 2 about love. I've been thinking about love and want to share with you a very important teaching on love. Love is so important in life. God is love. There is human love. There are four different kinds of human love: friendship love, family love, erotic love or sexual emotional love, and then friendship, family, storgeo, phileo, eros love, and then which one did I miss? Yeah, there's agape love. Four loves. Three of them are human, but I actually think there are four human loves that in the Greek language, affection love. And so we are talking about agape love, which is defined in 1 Corinthians 13. God's love. God in 1 John 4:19 loved me. He loved us first. This is a starting point for life. Is Him. We start with God. Many people do not know the starting point. They have their own starting point, which is their life. They start with themselves. Even a Christian can do this. Even after learning a lot, you may still start with yourself. And so I want to read from R.C. Sproul a personal fear that he had of not being saved. R.C. Sproul was a Calvinist theologian, preacher, and a good believer, good man of God. He went home to be with the Lord, but this is what he was thinking at different times. I say this because this happens to us. There are people in this world who are not saved, but who are convinced they are. The presence of such people causes genuine Christians to doubt their salvation. After all, we wonder, suppose I am in this category, meaning I think I am saved, but I am not. Suppose I am mistaken about my salvation and am really going to hell. How can I know that I am a real Christian? A while back, I had one of those moments of acute self-awareness that we have from time to time. And suddenly, the question hit me. R.C., what if you are not one of the redeemed? What if your destiny is not heaven after all, but hell? Let me tell you, I was flooded in my body with a chill that went from my head to the bottom of my spine. I was terrified. I tried to grab hold of myself. I thought, well, it's a good sign that I'm worried about this. Only true Christians really care about salvation. But then I began to take stock of my life, and I looked at my performance. My sins came pouring into my mind. The more I looked at myself, the worse I felt. I thought, maybe it's really true. Maybe I'm not saved after all. So let's draw a little picture here. Here is the believer, and he can feel and think and start with himself. Me. Am I saved or not? What grounds would I know if I am saved? Is it by my behavior? Is it by my performance? Or how do I know? So I want to share with you today some thoughts on this subject. I want you to turn to Hosea chapter 2, and one of my favorite passages is this Hosea book, chapters 1 and 2, and here we have God saying that Israel has played the prostitute or the harlot. She has betrayed me, God says. Israel as a nation is seen as the wife of Jehovah or Yahweh. The wife of God is Israel. God brought Israel out of Egypt. I brought Israel out of Egypt and delivered her from slavery. I saved her. I brought her out to be my wife. But then Israel has betrayed God by worshiping idols. Or that might sound strange to us, but it's very common with our hearts. We replace the living God with other gods, living God with ourself, the living God with ideas and temptations, lusts, desires that we have intellectually and emotionally. We replace God with lies. Fear, you are a liar. I wonder how many people live in fear, for example. You are a liar. They live in lies. We betray our relationship with God. But even if Israel has played the harlot, God has said, I am for her. I will never forsake her. I am for Israel. I love her with an everlasting love. Because there's two things about God that are important for us. He is holy, and I'll put here the word righteous. Very important. The very important starting point. God is holy. You know, these yard signs, love is love, and the woke movement of our culture and what they say about love, that's not what we're talking about. God is love. It's not human love. It's God. It's holy. God's love is holy. God is a holy God. God cannot lie. God is true. God cannot betray. God cannot be deceitful. God cannot cheat you. He cannot mislead you. God is holy and true. The second thing about God is love. This is so important to us. Love. He is first loving us, first loves you. God loves you. He loves you. I am a sinner. Three times in Romans 5, there's three phrases. One is, when I was without strength, he loved me. Second one, when I was a sinner, he loved me. Third one, when I was an enemy, he loved me. He saved us when we were enemies, when we were sinners, when we were without strength. If having saved us when we were in that condition, how much more can he keep us? How much more can he be faithful to us? If when we were lost, he saved us by his grace, then having saved us, won't he keep us? Will he ever fail us? Will he ever cheat us or lie to us or betray us? No, love cannot do that. This is where we start. We start with God. R.C. Sproul, in those moments which we all have, or we probably have, I don't know, I have had, what if I am not saved? I believe I am, but I am not saved. Then what do I have? If I'm not the elect, if God has not saved me, then What do I have? Where is my starting point? The only starting point I have is Him. Him. And what does He say? What does it say in the Scripture? We read it with me. Hosea 2, verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her. Now, she's spoken about as a treacherous woman who has left God, spiritual adultery. A woman who has forsaken God, who has decked out with jewelry and provocative clothing, and he draws her like a woman that is promiscuous, and he describes her as a deceitful, cheating woman. And God is saying, what shall I do with her? Verse 14, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness. What would that mean, do you think? I will bring her into the wilderness. It says in the Scripture here, she will chase her lovers but not find them. She will go after her lovers. She will get all dressed up and go out looking for her lovers but not find them. And then God says, I will bring her into the wilderness. Have you ever been in a wilderness? God has brought you into a wilderness. You are empty. The woman that married had five husbands in John 4, and the man she was living in with was not her husband is a good example of a woman in the wilderness. But Jesus spoke to her, and she was amazed when she found Jesus. No man has spoken to me like this man. He has told me everything. She said, everything. He is the Messiah. He told me. I've said, I know the Messiah will come. And he said, I am He. Wow. And you know what happened? She found God. God found her. How about you? God found you. God saved you. I have three things to say, past, present, and future, about your new motivation. Let me say this. When you are come to God, you have now a new motivation. Here you are, and here is God. And I want to put the word here, motivation. Motivation is a big and important word. Why do you walk with God? Why do you rejoice in God? Why do you sing songs to God? Why do you obey God? Why do you desire to obey God? Why is your heart after God? What motivates you? What happened to you? You are born again, and the Spirit of God has done this for you and I. Read the verse with me. We'll go through a few of them. I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness. And I can't help but think of the wilderness of life, the wilderness of a lost job, a broken heart, a lack of money or opportunity, kind of get stuck in a narrow pit, lost somehow in the wilderness. I will bring her there, and then what does it say? I will speak comfortably to her. I will not be yelling at her. I will be counseling her. I will be loving her. I will be forgiving her. I will be building her up. I will be encouraging her. I will be motivating her. In a new way. She's not motivated by fear. She'll be motivated by my love. I will love her. I will love her freely. I will love her without having to pay for it. You can't buy love. You can only find God. God is love. God is the God that loves. Verse 15. I will give her vineyards from there, in the valley of Achor. That was where that family was stoned, in the valley of Achor. But I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. She shall sing there. What's the meaning of singing? Freedom, joy, peace, comfort, convenience. It fits. Appropriateness. You know, singing a new song. Life, worship. God is here. Peace is here. She will sing there. As in the days of her youth. When you mean Israel had a time of youth? Yeah, when she came out of Egypt, she was young. She came out of Egypt from slavery to a birth, a new birth, a birth. God is with Israel. God has got the tabernacle and the priesthood, and God is leading them into the promised land. Now, go to verse 18. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, with the creeping things of the ground, bow and sword of battle. I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me. What does betroth mean? What does it mean? Engagement, okay. Engagement. I'll betroth you to me. Like when a man, he is engaged, right? He takes a woman, he wants to make promises to her or lead her. Well, God has, in a way, lost his wife, but he brings her back. And now he's saying, you're not going to call me Master Bali, but you're going to call me Ishi, right? Is a verse 16. You will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. In the Baals, the Baal religion, Baal was the god of fertility, and in that religion, he was master. But this religion isn't God is my master, it is that he's my husband. Jesus said it this way, I don't call you my servants, I call you my friends. Marriage is like friendship, two pillows. The word intimacy comes from the word in the Middle East. I don't know where, actually where I learned this, if it's in the Hebrew, but two pillows. When you are married and you have two pillows, you are close and you talk. The word intimate is from that in the Hebrew. Intimacy, connection, two pillows, talking. When God loves you, he has brought you into a relationship where he tells you his secrets. He tells you from his heart. He loves you. He speaks comfortably to you. He is revealing to us love. This is love. Love that doesn't fail. This is love that saves us from hell. Love that forgives us of our sins. Love that says, God is my husband here. Here, Hosea 2, husband. John 15, he's my friend. He is my shepherd, John 10. He is the way, the truth, the life, John 14. He has the living water, John 4. Out of our belly, John 8, John 7, 37. Out of our belly. He is the manna from heaven in John 6. He He is the door and the way, and He is God. He is love. He is love. R.C. Sproul had a question about his salvation, and there's no answer for that question except God. God is the only one that can answer that question. And He has spoken to us comfortably with secrets, with words. Those words, I have chosen you, you have not chosen me, in John 15:16. God. Would God be the kind of God who would call you and forsake you? Or would He be the God that would call me, and when I go away from Him, He would never leave me or forsake me? He will follow me, Psalm 139, even if I make my bed in hell, I am there, He said. In hell, I am there, and my right hand will lead you. What does this mean? The only hope for any of us is God. And who is God? He's a righteous God. Hallelujah. He is a holy God. I want to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1, verse 16. How can we be holy? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. By the Holy Spirit, you walk with God. Now, I want to say three things about motivation regarding your new life, the past salvation, meaning you were saved some point in time. You are saved. He saved you by His grace. Did you earn it? No. Do you deserve it? No. We are lost. Enemies and without strength. No way. He saved you. Jonah 2:8-9. Salvation is of the Lord. He chose you. He elected you. He forgave you. He gave His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever, what does it mean, whoever? Doesn't it mean whoever? Whoever believes in Him will not perish. Will he perish? He will not perish, but have everlasting. It is not God's will that anyone would perish. 1 Timothy 2:4. No, He saved us. He saved us. Come on. He saved us by His grace. Now, do I have those thoughts? Maybe I'm not saying, of course, you can have them. But how do you deal with it? How do you process it? How do you live? I'm telling you, there's a way to live, and it's through love. God's love. God loves you. That's how we live. He loves me. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to learn the Scripture and understand what God says to us. Does He benefit by a people who live in insecurity? Does He benefit by a people that live in fear? Does He benefit by a people that are living in guilt? Does He benefit by people that live in shame? Does He benefit by us living in our flesh? Does He benefit by us hiding in a corner or living afraid or worried about our salvation? No, these things were written so that we might know we have eternal life. It was written so we would know our name is in the book of life. It is written so we would know that we have been forgiven of all of our sin. Hebrews 8:12, and remember our sin no more. How about it? Hey, wait a minute. God said, does God know all things? Well, does He know your sin? Yes, He knows all things, but somehow He has decided that He does not know. He said, I cannot remember your sin any longer. Well, then how can God, who can't remember my sin, how come those sins are remembered by me? Why do I remember what God has forgotten? If God has forgotten it, why don't I live with God and forget it also? It's gone. I remember your sin no more. Hebrews 8, 11, and 12. Isn't it true? I don't remember my sin. I don't dwell on it, think about it. I cannot remember it. God does not remember. He has cast them into the deepest sea. In the ancient world, by the way, what's the deepest sea on the earth? It's the Pacific Ocean. How deep is it? 7 miles deep. 7 miles deep. Okay. Where's my sin? The bottom of the Pacific Ocean. What's the meaning of that? In the ancient world, that was a part where you could never go. Could never go 7 miles down in the ancient world. Even in the modern world, we have a hard time navigating that. Cannot find the airplane that went down off of Indonesia. Remember that? Haven't found the plane yet. Some years ago, it's gone. Cannot find it. Our sins are it's worse than the plane. That plane they have not found, and they will never find our sin. How will they find our sin? They cannot find our sin. For God is love. God is righteous, so he sent Jesus to shed his blood, that his blood would atone for our sin and cover all our sin. It's gone. Hallelujah. 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 Our sin is gone. Okay. Now, what's my motivation in my life now? I am drawn by this message of grace and this message of love. So we have three things. Number two, my present life motivates me. The present status of our lives. What does it mean? Our present life. It's Psalm 34. It's just the psalm of like recognizing the amazing blessing of a spirit-filled life. A spirit-filled life is a blessed life. A spirit-filled life is a life of joy. It's a life of love. A spirit-filled life is a life of praise to God. It motivates us. I want to be spirit-filled every day. It's a better way to live. Have any of you lived in the flesh the past week? Huh? Come on. Confession time. Confession time. Have you lived in the flesh? Anybody? Anybody here? Have we lived in the flesh? Yeah. Have you tasted it? How about the beautiful song we heard? Fear. What did he say? He is a liar. Do you want to be led by a liar? Do you want to be living in fear? Do you want to worry yourself to death? Do you want to complain a lot? Murmur, worry, complain. Do you want to be argumentative? Do you want to have anger? Not far away from you, but in your throat, ready to swear and curse. Do you want to live as a miserable person in this world? Maybe some of you do. I'm so glad you're here today. Amen. Guys, we've got a good message for you. There's a better way. It's easier to praise God. It's better to be thankful. It's better to trust. Give all your stuff up to the living God. Amen? The living God who's bigger than everything. Hey, you know what I compare? I compare God to a spray bottle of water, and just take a spray bottle, and I don't know how you're hearing this illustration, but I have a meaning in it. There's the ocean, a huge ocean, the waves of grace, waves of love. And then I have a little spray bottle. It's kind of like my life, like, you know. It's like, what is that compared to the ocean? What is your life compared to like a living almighty God who is so deep and powerful and awesome? What is your complaining? What is your argument? What is your small life? What is your life of sin? What is your pettiness? What is your selfishness mean? All of it is nothing in the light of Almighty God. Who is our God? Our God is not like their gods. Our rock is not like their rock in Deuteronomy 29. Our God is a living God, amazing God, powerful God. He so loved us tenderly that he hung on a cross because he knew we'd be afraid of him. But in his humility, he hangs there to draw us and say, I am for you. Trust me. You can trust me. I'll never betray you. I'll never lie to you. I'll never cheat you. I am for you. I am not against you. How does he betroth Israel? Go to the verse that says, verse 19, we'll finish up in a minute. I'll betroth you to me forever. It's like a bridegroom speaking to his fiance, saying, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice. This is up on our screen. This is this first thing about God. I'll betroth you unto me in this one, in righteousness. I can't talk with you unless I make you righteous. I mean, talk in this sense. I can't relate. I can't be married to you unless I give you my righteousness. I have to have righteousness. How can two walk together unless we're agreed? I need to impute righteousness to you, and I will make you righteous. And I will betroth you unto me in loving kindness and mercy. I'll betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. If we had time, we could take those words apart and talk about them, but I want to make it very short. It means this. To my fiance, basically it means, you'll never find a guy greater than me. You'll never find a guy more honest, more righteous, more loyal, more faithful. You never find. I'm the one. This is God speaking to Israel. You want me. Your other lovers, they cheat you, but not me. I'm the one you're looking for. I am. I am God. Wow. This is our motivation. This is our new motivation. He's drawn us by love. He's drawn us by truth. He's drawn us by putting it in us. And in the present life, you benefit from it. You talk better. You think better. You pray better. You love better. You forgive better. You're more kind. You're more gracious. You're empowered. You're anointed of God. God is with you. You are like God. To be honest, it says in the proverb that the woman is the crown of her husband. And if we could say the church, we are kind of the crown of Jesus. We are the evidence of a good man. We're the evidence of a good husband has treated us very well. He has saved us by his grace, and he keeps us, and we love him. Song of Solomon. We love him. We love him. We have posters up on the around here because it is a time of prayer for the persecuted church, and we see some Indian or Pakistani or Arab brother, sister, who has been martyred or is suffering persecution, and we just have so much respect for them because they must have found this love. A love that doesn't quit. A love that doesn't fail. A love that doesn't cheat. A love that believes even in pain, even in trouble. A love that just says, God loves me. His grace is enough. We are able to do this. The third thing I want to share about this motivation, The third thing is this one here, and it is the future. Does the future motivate you? Bema seat is the judgment seat of the believer. Doesn't motivate you. Why do you live the way you live? Why do I go to the church? Because I need to hear a fresh word. I want to see my brothers and sisters. I want to meet them in the flesh. By the way, we become a lazy culture that COVID shut us down. We learn to live in our pajamas, and we learn to go to church in our pajamas and make scrambled eggs and eat them while we're watching church in a big lazy boy chair at home. We become like this by habit. I wonder how many Christians have never and not come back yet. Come back. I preached that one time, and one brother came the next week. He said, I came because you yelled. You yelled at me. I was in my chair, and you yelled at me, and here I am. And I haven't seen him since, actually. I got to do it again. Okay. You cannot. We are in a war. Have you seen? We are in a battle. We are in the end days. We are going to see Jesus soon. We are going to die soon, or we're going to be raptured soon. In any case, some of us at the age we're at, you know, within 10 or 20 years, it's over, done. We did it. So praise the Lord. That'll be great. Why live at the end? Why not go out with love? Why not finish up? And if you started, you got a great life to live, because if you live a spirit-filled life, it's number two. The present world, it motivates us. The blessings of a spirit-filled life. I want more of it. I want more of it. I want faith. I think sometimes somebody said Americans are dying because they don't have any vision. They don't have a vision. Americans don't have a dream. Americans, sometimes they just are hanging out on drugs or hanging out at a pool hall or hanging out on the street corner. It's like, got to have a vision. Come on. We got to jump off a cliff. We got to do something. Got to make a difference. You got to walk with Jesus. Let's follow Jesus. Let's go into the pool hall and preach the gospel. I mean, let's share it with our family. Let's go on the street. Let's go to another country with the gospel and be prepared. Or just raise our family the way we ought to. Talk to our children with love in our hearts. And tell a young lady, you're a young woman, you're beautiful. Don't ever get the idea that you're a guy. You're not a guy. You're my little girl. You're my precious young lady. You are a precious, beautiful woman. You are precious in my eyes. And God made you just the way you are. And God is going to have you love yourself and lead you and guide you. You see, what motivates us today is love motivates us. And we need that for the present. And then lastly, the future judgment seat means this. It's a great thing when God takes something out of the trash can, gets it all fixed up, polishes it up, and then it's like 1,000 times more valuable than what it was. It's a great thing when God takes a sinner and makes him a saint. And in heaven, we will see the magnitude of what we are part of. We haven't yet seen what we are part of. We're somehow dull and blind, somehow kind of dumb about the whole thing, just thinking about when's lunchtime. That's as far as I can. All I can think of is I got enough gas in my gas tank. All I can think of is a paycheck or my career or my house or something like this. But, oh, no, wait a minute. I want to think what God tells me in the scripture, that there is a day when we're going to see what this is. And it motivates us. I want to win the race, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to run in the race. I want life to count. I don't want to waste it. I want to redeem the time. I want my life to count for glorifying God. If God can be glorified by us believing what he said, if it brings glory to God, then what a great way to live your life. Your life glorifies God. Whatever you do in word or deed, you do to the glory of God. Why did you sweep the floor? To the glory of God. Why are you doing this or that? Why are you at peace? We are living to the glory of God. Why? What's going on in your life? Every bit of my life is living for the glory of God. How could that happen? Because I've been saved by his grace, filled with his spirit, and called to live a life of faith. Where did it all come from? Love. Love did it. Love did it. Love is doing it, and love will finish it. And we're all part of it. So that's a good message. Amen. Amen. Lord, we are before you today, trusting. When we leave here today, we're going to say, I've been in the house of God. I heard the word of God, and I'm taking home with me something in my heart that I want this motivation. I'm not dull. I want to be awake. I'm not just living haphazardly. I'm living with intention, deliberation, on purpose. Focus on with laser beam focus on a divine purpose, because you have said to us you love us. We respond to that love, believe it, embrace it, walk in it. Maybe somebody's wrestling or struggling with something. I want to speak to your heart and say, Jesus is for you. Forget it. Drop it. Drop it. Let it go in the waste bin of a waste bin of life, and it buried in the deepest sea. Drop it. Forget it. Move on. Embrace the truth. Meditate day and night on what God has said. Learn to meditate day and night as a way of life, and embrace truth in your heart. And then maybe somebody here is not a believer or listening on the internet. Come to Jesus today and say in your heart to God, I need you. I need you, God. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to be my Savior. I put my trust in you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You became a believer, then just walk on. Talk to God. He's your Father. He loves you and cares for you. Open the Bible. Read the Gospel of John. God will speak to you and help you in your life. Amen.